Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the 10-Minute MBA. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. On the 10-Minute MBA, I give you tools, tactics, strategies, and insights that you can use to start, scale, grow, and 10x your business. Let's get into it. There are so many issues with teams, with leaders that do not know how to build high-functioning teams, because everybody, every entrepreneur in the world knows they cannot do everything themselves. They need a team. They need a high-functioning team, the ones that just get things done. You hire people that are A players, that are better than you, that know more than you, and you get out of their way. But it is so hard to accomplish this one simple, albeit not so simple, and very confusing and very difficult thing. So what is the issue? What does the team that we hire for our company usually look like? Well, more often than not, we have teams that are plagued with politics, passive aggression, tons of wasted effort. But the funny thing is, the team isn't usually broken. More often than not, they just don't trust each other. And it's costing you not just in gray hairs, but it's costing you in time and energy and money. So the thing is, instead of just cleaning house and letting everyone go and hiring again, which is just an ethically bad thing to do and also very time consuming and costly, let's try and work with the team that we already have. Because the thing is, it is rarely a lack of talent or good intentions on the people that you hired. The culprit for dysfunctional teams in a company, more often than not, is a concept that I discovered in Patrick Lencioni's book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I love this concept. So let's go through it all. Let's go through these five dysfunctions. However, the first and most fundamental dysfunction that is pointed out that sort of leads to all the other issues is a lack of trust. So trust, I don't want you to think it's some touchy-feely HR concept. I want you to think about it like this. Imagine we're playing a high-stakes poker game. Everyone's wearing sunglasses, keeping their cards to their chest. Would that game be any fun? Probably not. Would you win big? Even less likely, because everyone's sort of running their own show. Effective teams operate fundamentally differently than teams that do not have trust. So here's the problem. People, individuals, employees, entrepreneurs, you, me, we are wired to protect ourselves. And in a workplace, what does this look like? It looks like hiding mistakes because no one wants to look dumb. So problems get swept under the rug. It looks like hesitating to ask for help. Asking for help usually feels like admitting weakness. And it also looks like dreading feedback, because feedback can sometimes turn into criticism because no one has built up that trust foundation. If this sounds like your business, well, we're going to fix it. But the cost to a business functioning like this is very real, because lack of trust isn't just uncomfortable, it's costly. It's wasted time with endless meetings spent beating around the bush. It's missed opportunities. Great ideas die because no one feels safe taking risk. It's spiraling burnout. People are stressed about protecting themselves, not driving results. It's just very bad. So we know the problem is trust. So how on earth do we build trust in a team? Now, this is where things get interesting. So we already know what the problem is. Now we have to figure out the solution. So we're not going to focus on silly little trust building exercises like trust falls or team building retreats with awkward high fives. We need actionable strategies that can be integrated into the daily rhythm of work, not just one-off events, because first of all, they suck. People hate them. And second of all, they're one-off. So it's not going to build the behaviors and the team that you actually need. So here's a few ideas. Vulnerability is a superpower. So if you're a leader, if you're a founder, CEO, this one's for you. You got to own up to a mistake you made, share a struggle you're facing, and ask for team input on a tough decision. You can do this in your monthly, quarterly, yearly, whatever, all hands, or it can just be a behavior that you always do when you have one-on-ones, just casual conversation. You model the behavior you want to see, and you are going to be shocked by how quickly the team follows suit. Second thing you want to do the personal history exercise. So super simple, but very, very effective. And again, these are not complicated concepts. We just have to understand that the de facto status quo is shit. This is why these basic concepts work very well for leading and leadership. So the personal history exercise, set aside some team meeting time for team members, employees, to share a little bit about themselves, background, hobbies, something non-work. If it's never been done, it has to be done ASAP. It breaks down barriers way faster than discussing last quarter's numbers. The third thing you want to do is you want to spotlight wins and lessons weekly. So you want to make it a habit to publicly acknowledge good work, but also encourage sharing a failure or a lesson learned the hard way. You can publicize a post-mortem on a deal gone bad. You can publicize when SLAs weren't kept or when tech support stumbled on a fix that should have been easy, or maybe you pushed an update that broke something. Like, talk about this stuff. Normalize that we all stumble. It creates a really good safe space to unpack those missteps together. By the way, very important, no one is above this. So this is not a management's killing it and employees screwed up. This is like a management starts owning the lessons that they messed up with that week, because everybody screwed something up, trust, in a business every single day. So management, CEO, executives have to participate and contribute. And then the last idea would be to reimagine what feedback looks like in your organization. So perhaps start to move away from the annual performance review model. Instead, make small, frequent, specific feedback the norm. So somebody should not be waiting a year to find out they screwed something up. Micro coaching sessions are more impactful than a formal evaluation. If you're going to be having one-on-ones, maybe have half of it for like performance, or KPI attainment, and the second half of it be for like mini performance review on just day in the life of the employee. It has to be tailored to your business, but remember, feedback that's actually delivered with kindness and respect, it builds trust, not defensiveness. Why is there a defensive sort of combative feeling when you do these annual performance reviews? Mostly because the employee is being sidelined. They didn't expect this stuff. It's been building up for months, and it's so stressful for you, but for the employee, it's the first time that they've really heard you mention it to them. So let's reimagine the feedback loops that we give employees. Now, building trust won't happen overnight. It is definitely a marathon, not a sprint, but I'm betting even a few of these shifts will start to change the dynamic on your team. You'll start to change the culture in your organization. You'll see less posturing, more open communication, and the beginnings of that truly collaborative energy that we all really need. However, here's the thing. Trust is just a foundation. So Leoncioni outlines 4 more dysfunctions that can sabotage your team. I just want to go over them very briefly. So let's say you've already tackled the trust problem. People are more open, feedback's flowing, your team's sort of humming along, or so it seems. There is a sneaky pitfall that you need to watch out for. Remember, building trust is just the base of the pyramid. What good is a team that trusts each other but doesn't have a spine? This brings me to the second prevalent dysfunction, fear of conflict. So fear of conflict is bad. Think about it like fire. Fire can destroy a forest, or it can be harnessed to cook food, keep us warm. Conflict works the same way. Unproductive conflict, the kind fueled by bruised egos and personal attacks, is toxic. But constructive conflict is essential for growth. So teams that avoid conflict end up with resentment. So the unspoken stuff always finds a way to bubble to the surface. The decision-making processes is stagnant. Everyone dances around the hard topics and nothing ever really gets resolved. And there's missed opportunities for innovation, because real breakthrough often comes out of messy debates. If everyone's always playing nice, you settle for safe mediocrity. See, the goal isn't to become a team of ruthless debaters, but to learn to disagree productively. And leaders, it's on you to set the tone. Reward passionate discussion. Call out passive-aggressive behavior. Show your team that it's okay to have tough conversations if done with respect. In fact, it's a benefit to the organization. So that is trust, productive conflict. We've tackled those two. There are 3 more. I just want to skim over them briefly. As Lencioni warns, there's a lot of work to do with these 5 dysfunctions. But just to touch on them, there's the lack of commitment, which is 3. If you've ever been in those meetings where everybody nods along only to discover later that no one is fully on board, that's lack of commitment. To combat this, encourage open debate before decisions and ensure everyone's voice is heard, and set crystal clear expectations after. The Fourth one is the avoidance of accountability. So when no one holds their teammates accountable for results, standards start slipping. Peer-to-peer accountability is tough, but essential. Establish clear metrics for success and create a culture where it's okay to respectfully call out a teammate who's falling short. And the fifth one is inattention to results. So it's easy for teams to get caught up in internal politics and lose sight of what truly matters, which is achieving meaningful results. Keep collective goals front and center, celebrate wins publicly, and tie recognition directly to the impact a team member has made. Remember, teamwork is messy. Lencioni's model is a powerful tool to diagnose the specific challenges your team might be facing. Tackling these dysfunctions head on is an investment in building a team capable of overcoming obstacles and achieving extraordinary things. Remember, there is a good chance that team culture is slightly broken in your organization, and that's okay, because it will always be slightly broken because no one's perfect. No company's perfect, but take these steps, start including some of them. You'll start to see a shift. You'll start to see a net positive shift. It's not a race. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you start to incorporate some of these ideas, you'll start to see trust building. You'll start to see team cohesiveness, and you'll start to see a culture that will work for your business as opposed to against it. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got some value out of that. Make sure you come back tomorrow for another business lesson on the 10-Minute MBA.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.